Galloway is a construction manager and consultant, commercial and residential builder, and a certified inspector for all commercial and residential buildings. And now, here is About the House with Troy Galloway.
Thank you. Well, hello, folks. Thank you very much for inviting me to this. And if it's really, really boring, Kristen's the one to blame. So anyway, let's get started. I'm Troy Galloway. I do own Galloway Building Services. But Galloway Building Services is inspections, construction inspections, new home construction inspections. We also do a lot of construction litigation. So if you kind of ever get in trouble, or say, for instance, you got a contractor, I'll work with the contractor first. How many times have you had somebody say the job's not done right? You know, and you know it's done right, but the busybody down the end of the street knows everything except for what he's talking about. And he comes up there and he says, oh, I would have done it this way and I had to do it that way. And then he just, well, they don't know what they're talking about. And then that just freaks out the people, you know, the customer. And so, and you can't call. Who do you call? You can't call another contractor because they want to steal the jobs. Naturally, it's competitive. So we're a non-biased company. We don't do any of the contracting anymore, technically. I do inspect buildings still, but that we're not out in the open market anymore for hire. And that way I can do construction litigation work that because I'm non-biased. And that way, if I get hit up by the lawyer, you know, and depositions are in the courtroom, they can't get me for trying to get the work. So let me ask you real quick, so I could kind of tailor it. So when I teach this at the local colleges, I always like to ask the people the same thing. So we got so many different people spread out, I'm going to do it a little differently. But do we have, I know you all are real estate investors, but do we have anybody here that are attorneys? All right, so no attorney jokes for me. And if I do, blame my wife, she's back behind us. So anyway, do we have any, anybody else that besides yourself that's a contractor? So do we have anybody that is in the skills or the trades at all besides this young man here? All right, well, good. So we're gonna get started with this and we'll get on to that, get moving here. Let's make sure I can figure my system out here. All right, so I'm Troy Galloway here, and this is just a little bit of contact information of Galloway Building Services. But I'm really here under this construction consumer advocacy. What the construction consumer advocacy is, it's where we set this up, and it's fairly new. And so I'm inviting contractors like yourself and such to other professionals to come on board and help us with blogs and try to be a certified. And we're doing this nationwide. And what it is it's like consumer reports. And so you can get free information, tons of great information, but it's only on construction issues or anything about your house or remodeling. You know, and kind of goes along with my radio show that I've been doing for a long time, About the House. And you can get that on YouTube, podcast, Apple Podcast. You know, honestly, I'm going to throw my producer here. He said not to say nothing, but I'm going to because he's such an awesome young man, Joey V. And he's sorry, Joey, I had to. But he puts everything out there for me. So if you want to know where to find me besides YouTube and Instagram and a few places, ask Joey. He knows all that technical stuff. I know my business, but I don't know a clue about that. But this is a great source of information for you folks. And right now we got a lot of blogs out there that we started, and it's free to all of you folks right now. And it's going to, a lot of the information is going to stay free, just so as that anybody in the country can call and find out or check. And we're going to be bringing in people from all over, because there's a lot of folks. Do we have anybody here that does Airbnbs? Ah, awesome. So do you do them just in strictly in the St. Louis area, or do you around the country?
Oh, no, they're vacation rentals, so they have to be in really nice places.
Awesome. Oh, okay. St. Louis is not that really nice place to vacation. I understand. So this would be great for folks like Airbnb. So because we're bringing in contractors from all over the country, because, you know, just because we do things here a certain way doesn't mean we do things in other places a certain way. And I do a lot of construction consulting. And when I do that, I go all over the country. And so I kind of have to follow, you know, the tech, what other people do, how we do things. But the book is definitely works anywhere in the country. So let's move right into that. So make sure I see under here. So, real quick, like that picture right there, I got to tell on it. So you see that, you see I got them, looks like blueprints. Fact of the matter is, I'm telling on myself, them aren't blueprints. I couldn't find a set of blueprints at the last minute to get the picture. So I just got a piece of vinyl flooring. And you would never know, would you? Ain't that awesome? Joey knows, he was there, I think, when I took the picture. So, but we put this book together because it's to help folks when you, if you want to be your own general contractor, or if you want to be hire a contractor. And we're going to talk about the different types of contractors and the GCs and stuff as we go along. But in this book, what we've done here is help you educate you. So I do, like I said, I do construction litigation work. And what I find is it's always the same things that gets people in trouble. And, you know, the sad part is that there isn't anybody out there training people how to be contractors. You know, the truth of the matter is, and me too. I've been doing this actually for 48 years. Real quick, I'm a building engineer, but not a PE in Missouri, technically, because they don't have a slot for whatever politics. I'm out, don't hold against me. I'm from Illinois. I went to the University of Illinois, so no rocks, good. And when I'm in Kansas City, I got to be careful with the Jayhawkers, but because they get mad because of the state. But anyway, so what we've done here is I find the same things happening. And I'm on the admin of Deals Gone Bad. Are you folks, any of you folks familiar on Facebook, Deals Gone Bad? And I'm one of the admin there, and I see the same things there too, the same complaints over and over and over again. So I started, when I saw that we didn't have any training programs for contractors, I started doing my training program to make certified contractors. But when I was in the process of doing it, I realized that there isn't anything for the consumers. And so I switched gears and wrote this book for the consumers. Because we always thought as a contractor, all we have to do is know how to do the work. Well, as any good businessman knows, knowing how to do the work helps. But that's probably how come you get in so much trouble as a contractor, because you don't know how to run a business. And that's what a book is kind of helping folks do, run the business and help them kind of know what the things to do. I started implementing these. I was always an upper end contractor and I never really did a lot of the lower end, but the same spectrum of problems go the same way. And what I found is, I started putting these same techniques that I'm going to be talking about today here. And what I found for me and for you, if you was to do these things, you set yourself out worlds apart from everybody else, because the other contractors, they don't know these little tiny things. And I designed it so as that my homeowners felt better. My jobs went smoother. Nobody wants to make that phone call that you got a problem. And I guarantee you there's not a contractor in town that wants to hit that phone call. So we want things to roll as smooth as possible. And you know, so we want to make sure that the customers, they're happy, and they're happy if they don't have any stress. The contractor, if he's happy because he doesn't have any problems, he's going to do you a better job. So it's just win-win for everybody. And actually, what I've done is I actually put together with this book 100% satisfaction guarantee. And that means if you buy this book and you follow the guidelines, and if it doesn't save you a lot of heartache, a lot of problems, a lot of problems with your contractor, then I'll give you money back, because I know by my past experience how well that is working. So, we're going to get started with the pro program right here. And I want to ask everybody here, because this is, let me put this right here so I can find my cheat notes here. So if you have any questions as we're going along, please feel free. You know, this is how I do it, and it's my classes. You know, just raise your hand. We'll get your question answered. Ask, and you know, we just kind of make it like a group of us all getting together, hanging out, and talking, and visiting on the best in what we're doing here. So feel free. I love questions. So how are we going to pay for the project? I think that's the first place we need to start, besides getting a drink. Okay, sorry about that. So how are we going to pay for this project? So a lot of times we start wandering into a project and we're not really for sure. I see this all the time. You know, I'll just run down to the bank once I get the loan or something, and I'll get this, or I'll do, you know, or I got a family or somebody. But what you're really going to know is how we're going, the different ways of paying for it. And you guys are investors, so you're a little bit more educated than a lot of in this particular areas than a lot of my people I talk to. But you know, we can go to the bank and borrow the money. Borrow off our 401ks. I was even taught, and I think it's maybe in one of these books over here that it's being raffled off. You can even, a lot of folks even charge it off to their credit cards, you know, and then so they can pay for it a little bit later, which is a fabulous idea. We have a private lender in here, I guess, is that correct? And so, you know, them are great sources of to go to also, you know, and there's a lot of, what do you call yourselves, angels or money angels or something like that. And so it's a great opportunity there, but there's a lot of different ways of doing it. But kind of get an idea first, where are you going to get your money from? How are you going to pay for the job? Because you don't want to run out of money in the middle of your job. And how are we going to actually know how much we're going to be? Well, kind of got to know. This is probably one of the most important of anything in my world. Know what your project's going to look like. Okay, so if you got to say a room addition, or a house. You know, I do a lot of new homes and businesses. And so if you got to know, am I going to do granite countertops? Am I going to do, what type of cabinets am I going to put in? My flooring. Just go down a checklist, which I have at the end of the book. All of the different, I got tons of things at the end of the book, that you, like what the banks would want when you actually take your paperwork in, spreadsheet. And you want to have everything broke down. And you say, well, Troy, you know, sometimes colors or things don't necessarily work for me, you know, until I can see it. And I'm a little colorblind, so that definitely, I don't know until my wife tells me. And she might not know. There she's smiling. I'm getting in trouble now. And so what you do want to know, okay, all right, I might not want to know it's going to be mauve or plaid, or if I'm going to put in this type of carpet, but if I'm going to put in laminate flooring, and this is the type of flooring. And you don't have to be precise, but you got to know the budget. You got to know your budgets, and you got to have it laid out 100%. There's nothing more frustrating is that it happens all the time. I mean, I get into these projects and, you know, I as a consultant, and they're winging it as they go through. And if you got plenty of money, that's awesome. But we're investors here, you know, we're not about spending money. We're about making money. And the only way we're going to make it is if we know how much we're going to spend to invest. So we want to know all the little tiny nuances that go along with that. And I think, to me, that's so important. And we're going to talk about that further into the paperwork as we go into this to the show here, and where to put that at and whatnot. So what we're going to start, then we're going to move in here to the types of different building contractors. Now, like I said, a lot of this here you folks already know, so please bear with me, because this show goes for, or this presentation I use for different kinds of, you know, all groups of people. But there are all kinds of different pro contractors out there. We have our general contractors. Now, you might not need a general contractor, or you might be your own general contractor. Actually, that's one of the classes I used to teach people, how to be their own general contractor. And so a general contractor, as you guys already know, that's somebody that brings in all the trades and he manages them. You got one source of contact, you know, and that's through your GC, and he's the one that manages and schedules, and actually that's the one that actually holds the last bit of the warranty. You know, I mean, if you can go back and sue your subs if something goes bad, but it's the GC that's responsible for all of this. So that's what their job is. And that's why it's important to kind of know the difference. Then we also have, you know, our, we have different types of, you know, our specialty contractors, you know, our, which I heard somebody talking about looking for drywallers, and then you got painters and your carpenters. That's all that they do is just these particular groups or trades. And that's your specialty contractors. And then we have our specialty licensed contractors. And those are the ones that literally go get their testing, they're like electricians and plumbers and such, that they literally have to get their own licenses and then making sure that they're certified. Now, if you are your own general contractor, I highly recommend that whenever you get somebody, and I know I bet everybody in this room is going across this one time or another, you get a guy and you hire him and he's your electrician, right? But he doesn't have any license. He's actually working under somebody else's license. And you need to know that. And how would we find that out? You know, they're not always forthcoming in telling us this. So you just go and check the municipality that you're working in and just call down there and say, hey, is ABC Electrical Company, are they licensed in the county, St. Louis County? Most of the time, the guys, and I'm not against using the other guy. I use them all the time, other people that work under other underneath other licenses. I just want a better price because I'm not getting, you know, the top guy coming in. So we want to make sure you have the right type of contractors for the right kind of work. And you also need to also be checking with your municipalities because this world is changing quickly. We have to have, I mean, we got to have licensed plumbers to put in a toilet now, you know, in some areas. I guess toilets never got set right before we had a licensed guy to do it. You know, it don't make any sense. And oh, we got handyman. Now, handyman, they're a great resource also, and that's a different type of a trade altogether. And actually, for y'all's business, so I got to tell a story about this real quick. So when I was working up through the ranks, I already had my building engineering degree, and I'd already been contracting, but I wanted to learn about the remodeling business. So I got into remodeling, and then I wanted to get into this rehab business, like what y'all are doing. And I discovered I didn't know nothing. I mean, I could build you a beautiful home. I could remodel your kitchen, but it takes a special skill for folks to actually understand rehabbing. You know, you got to think outside of the box. There isn't a book that you have to do. And I was just so admired at these young men that I watched working inside, how they would figure these things out and how they'd rig these things together. And so hats off to these fellas. So in your world, that very well might be a great source. But them are the same people that might not have the licenses that you need. Now, licensed contractors, GCs, okay, general contractors in our area, they like to say, I'm licensed, bonded, and insured. Well, hopefully they are insured. And we'll talk about that as we go along. But licensed contractors, you know, like when I lived in California when I first started in the business, you had to take a test, state license and everything. But it don't teach you how to run a business. It doesn't teach you how to do any of that. Don't teach you how to manage your men. It teaches maybe a little bit of hit on it, but it's basically about how to work with your municipalities and codes and how to take care of that business. That's more what it's about. So they don't teach them how to do the other. So licensed general contractors, you know, what it really means is that I went down to like Creve Coeur, I think we're in Creve Coeur here, and I went down there and I paid their contractor's fee, and then whatever it is, I get my license, and now I'm a contracting genius. Just like that, you know, kind of like home inspectors. We have any home inspectors here? Okay, we're going to pick on them then. So, and they know it to be true, home inspectors. You know what it takes to be a home inspector? $500 and you're a genius. You just send that money in, you get associated as associate, and then you can start putting your shingle up. Then they got a test that you could take because we don't have any licenses for that in the state of Missouri and several other states the same way too. So, you know, think about that when you get your inspector. And actually that's another course that we teach about how to do your own inspections or how to hire home inspectors, building inspectors. But anyway, we don't want to go there because I get off onto a tangent. So I don't like home inspectors, even though I did. I only got into home inspecting because I hated them. So anyway, so we've got, that's a different type of building inspector or contractors. So where do we find our contractors? So I had to put the yellow pages up for all us old timers. Anybody remember what that is? I know a lot of you young people have probably never seen the Yellow Pages. But the Yellow Pages, the newspaper, the classified ads, you know, and I used it for years. As a matter of fact, for over 20-some years, if you got some phone books, you'll see my name out in it. We was there forever. But now there's a lot of different ways that we can do that, get our contractors. And some of them are good. So some of the ways we could do our we could find our contractors is naturally Angie's List, or now used to be Home Advisor and Angie's List bought together. They're a fine group. That's a good place to go to, you know, and it's free to you, but it's not free to the guys that are investing into it. Every time that phone rings with a lead, it costs them money. So try and, you know, be sincere when you do it, because these guys are trying to make a living, and it costs them money every time you call. So that's a wonderful way of getting it. And if you get on one of their preferred Angie's List, that's a good advertisement. Better Business Bureau. Better Business Bureau. Well, there's another good source, but Better Business Bureau. You know, I like to give the pros and the cons to a little bit of everything if I know it here. And Better Business Bureau is a great way if they've been getting multiple complaints. But if you pay the Better Business Bureau to be part of the bureau, then you are you're at A plus, or whatever they call it. And that plus means that you paid. And that means that they'll forgive a lot of the complaints and stuff that you might get. So it's not as 100% accurate as what we would like to see. Another one that's a great one to go to, which actually I still use, is I Know a Guy, Gal, I think, is there a girl, something, I don't know. But it's St. Louis has it, they got are all over the country. And that's a fabulous way of getting it. You're gonna get a whole bunch of names, you know, that from people, and you'll get good ones and bad ones. And, you know, with contractors, you know, and the thing about a contractor is that when you do get them, just because Sally had a great relationship with him and Tom had a great relationship with him, but maybe in their world right now, they've been great, but maybe their child's been sick and they're just not focused as well. So, you know, they might not give you the same quality of job. You know, and that's just the nature of these small businesses like that. Maybe they're going through a divorce or something, you know, you never know. The best you can do is get the referrals from people and call them, talk to them. You know, and when I call a contractor, you know what I hate? Yeah. Okay. Oh, what? I don't want that. I can't even believe that these people actually do this. I don't even understand. I gotta watch my language. I don't even understand how they even stay in business. You know, stand up and talk when you're a contractor, not you folks. They should stand up, look in a mirror, do something, show some enthusiasm, you know? And if your contractor acts like he's dying, he's gonna act like he's dying on your job and whining and crying the whole time anyway. And some of the trades always whine and cry. That's their nature. But you know, your GC's not supposed to. So we'll pick on some of them later as we go along. But that's a wonderful way too. Then you've also got Amazon. Now, Amazon is not free, you know, that cost, but that's a source. House is another source that you can go to. I got all these different sources in the book of the different where you can go to find different resources for contractors. There's a whole lot of them out there. And I was always, and I believe this, when you do, try to find the 3 to 4 best contractors that you think, and if you've done a little due diligence. But don't get 5, 6, 10 of them. Every one of you folks who've ever done it, you know, and this guy will testify to this. By the time you get there, you'll be confused about what's what, because this guy says this. This guy says it should be blue. That guy says it should be upside down. And that guy says, I'm not even showing up. It's going to rain into next week, you know, which I did have that happen. I literally did. I had a roof we was getting ready to put on. And the roofer says, well, I can't come up there. This is in Chesterfield. He says, we're going to get a rain. I said, I never saw any rain in the forecast. He said, yeah, it's down Springfield right now, Springfield, Missouri, and it's coming this way, and I can't get on it. Anybody like that? You just hang up the phone. You know, they're just, if they can make excuses before they get started, they're not even worth the hassle. You know, they're just going to cause you heartache, and nobody's got time for heartache. So that's, you know, we want to do that. We want to make sure that our guys or our fellas are, they show ambition, they show motivation, they show some sort of desire, you know, and I know that that's kind of hard to find, but that's exactly what, you know, we want to make sure. So we will move on. Do you have any questions on contractors? I kind of beat them up a little bit more than I should, but I wanted to I just think it's really important to understand who and where we can find them. Contracts. So this is where we start getting into the dirt here a little bit, because these are so important. And right up from the lien waivers to the scope of work, well, we'll just talk about that. So contracts. So contracts, the project scope of work, that we must have in writing. Folks, don't have anybody, you know, it's good to talk to each other, but I highly recommend that you get everything in writing. When you communicate with your contractors or your people, put it in writing. Have it text, have it emailed, because I guarantee you what I tell you tonight, you know, you might not remember as well as you would if you know if I have it in writing. At least I can always go back and say, hey, I did write it that way, because we hear what we want to hear, whether that's good or bad. So we want to make sure in our projects, the scope of work, it breaks it down to write down, which we'll talk a little bit more about it, but the scope of work, it literally takes us to what the project's going to look like. The colors, I like to see colors in everything. If you can, I realize that that might not happen, but you want to have you want all your information. You not only want to have the type of trim, the type of doors that you're putting down, you want to put down, you know, you want doorknobs, door handles, everything. Because the contractor, he's trying to rock and roll, get your job in and out. You want it done. You know, time is money. And we don't have time, you know, you don't really have, every time you stop and make a decision, that's just slowing down work. And if you slow down your contractor, then he's going to get demotivated. You got to keep them contractors happy. You got to keep them motivated and want to, you know. And so I took a course on how to be a certified superintendent, contract superintendent years ago. And we was told that the guys, you know, the workers, when they come out, they don't want to think. They just want to do. And your job as a GC is that, and I think most of you probably are your own general contractors, maybe not, but you guys want, you know, you want to, they don't want to have to think. They just want to come out, go to work, get it done, do your good job, and go home and open up a six pack, you know, take your dinner out, wife out to pizza or something. They don't really want to have to fool with this. And so make it as simple as possible. As a matter of fact, we have a new group of new people coming in all the time. And they might not understand what you're saying, and there's a language barrier. So do whatever you can. I was even taught how to draw pictures, you know, to help out. Anything to help the folks out, because like I said, the happier they are, the happier your job's gonna be. So that scope of work has every tiny little thing, which we'll get into a little bit more. Cost and payment terms, which I actually have a cost breakdown. One of the big reasons that I see happen all the time, small contractors, it's tough. Cash flow is absolutely murderous. As a matter of fact, many contractors have to do without getting paid if they keep their men paid or their folks paid. And so they're always chasing the money, you know, and so they want to know when they're going to get paid, how they're going to get paid. So I highly recommend that when you put in your contract, say, okay, I have a big project going out at Herman right now that I'm consulting on. So how we drew it up for that. So they get done with the foundation. Now, a lot of these smaller guys, they want to get paid. That foundation's done on Friday afternoon. You better be there. Your phone's going to blow up. They're going to bug you all weekend. I want my money. Well, I understand why they want their money. They need to pay their bills too. But they literally would happen. But you don't want that. That's not for you. And if you have it already designed and already figured out, then they will be able to budget their money better. So I highly recommend that you give yourself, I like to see at least 72 hours, just like a title company does. You know, they just don't see, you can't just automatically get a big draw a lot of times from a title company. They got to send their guy out to make sure that the roof's literally on before they give you the roofing draw. You know, so you want to make sure you go out to take a look at it. Make sure it's done to your specifications, making sure that it's done to what you've already had in your contract, making sure, and then they understand when they're going to get paid. You don't have them knocking on your door in the middle of the night, and it happens. It happens a lot. That because they're trying, they get paid. And so you want to make sure that you have all that drawn out. How are you going to pay it? Down payment. Now, this is a real big burr that I see on deals gone bad. And all the time construction litigation work, I can't do anything for you. Once you do, you make this mistake, you're done. And that is, they always want a lot of money up front. Why do contractors want a lot of money up front? Well, I think there's three good reasons. Number one, they're scared they're going to get ripped off, and because they get ripped off all the time. So they want to get out ahead of you as far as possible. Or number two, their cash flow. They're trying to make their bills. And so what they're going to do is they want to try to take as much as possible right now so they could pay their bills. Well, then that means that they're robbing Peter to pay Paul. They're going to be going over to the next guy and doing the same thing. And that means that they're going to be bouncing around on your jobs. And so that's a big reason they also, there are a couple of the good reasons why we want to do that. So cost and payment terms. And so I think what I do is everybody's got their own level. And so I had a little bit bigger jobs. And so we'll start with, think about the big jobs first. We talk more about this in great detail in the book. So, what we like to see, big jobs. You should not have to pay no one third down, one half down, one even 25% down. Honestly, you have to put a lawyer told me, and we don't have any lawyers here in the room, I guess. Oh, yeah, we do. We have an attorney. Right. So I was told that in order to have a legal contract, you have to have some money transfer in order to make it legal. Whether that's true or not, that's what I was always told. So just take a minimal amount down. And then I set it up, which I got that breakdown in the book here. And then I break it down. So, okay, when my materials show, then I get a draw. And then when I show up, I get a draw. And then when I hit different stages of completion, I get draws. And it'll go back and forth. It'll ebb and flow. So sometimes you're going to be out ahead, and sometimes they're going to be out ahead. And that's just the nature of the beast. It's going to have to go back and forth that way. And just as that's part of the comfort level if you're going to need to be working with your contractor. But if you get bit as an owner of the property, at least get bit a little bit, not bit a lot. And if they get bit, they only get bit a little bit, and that's how it should work. Now, on some jobs, smaller jobs, that don't really work so well. So you might have to give more up front on it. Say for, because of, that's just the way they have to have their materials or whatnot, or it's just, that's how it best works for everybody. Cause it's a small project. I hate folks, we're not the contractor's bank. If a guy comes to your bill, to do your job, and if he can't afford to buy his own lumber, that means he doesn't have any credit. Maybe you ought to reevaluate the quality of the person you got. Now, if you're really trying to get the cheapest guy in town, that's going to be, you're going to get what you paid for. But you want to make sure that, you don't give any more than you have to. Try to make it fair for everybody. So years ago, everything's years ago when you're my age. So years ago, I was working with a young man, or we were both young men at that time. And actually, he was a huge developer, really growing up. And you see his stuff all around town here. And he works all over the country. I was so stupid. I was watching them How to Get Rich Quick shows, on TV. And I'd get up in the middle of the night, man. I was so pumped up. I couldn't wait to hit the world, and I was going to make me a ton of money. And he said, "Hey, you're going to get a kick out of this," because I read that they said, contact investors. Well, I didn't know about investors. So I got in the phone book that we had and looked under investors. And most of them laughed because that's not what they do. But I happened to find this fella who developed properties. And he had a beautiful, which is irrelevant tie to the show here, a presentation, but a Frank Lloyd Wright house. And he needed some work done on it. And he said, "I'll trade you information for work." And so one of the best lessons that he ever gave me was, if it's not a good deal for everyone, It's not a good deal for anyone. And I have worked my entire business and my life that away. And I think, so I just want to share his, Ralph Kuna is his name, and Ralph's information. So any of you folks that are ever get into big commercial projects, contact me and I'll refer you to him. He's a great source and a great fella. And actually, he went to school with my wife. So I don't know if that's good or bad, but that was a long time ago, wasn't it, Ron? I'm sorry? Actually, his office is in Clayton, but at least it was in Clayton, but I'm sure it was, and his, he's probably still in Clayton, but I don't know. He might, he works all over the country, so you might not, you know, I don't know what all projects he does, wherever, but he's done Walmarts and stuff. But anyway, I just thought that was a great lesson. All right, so the next one, the project's time frame. Now, that's always important, even on the tiny little jobs. Even if it's installing a toilet, because how often do we get the guy show up and he just has to go get a part and he might not be back for 2 days and you don't have a toilet, you know, or a shower, you know, or a pipe hooked up. Happens all the time. So you want to have them in the scope of work would be the project's time frame. Now, if it's a big project, you can only do it in increments. And I know you folks know this, so please bear with me. But so we want to be able to, so I can always take my job. Once I get my foundation in, then I can take it up to framing and mechanicals. And then I take it into, you know, then with, of course, then, you know, then my drywallers and whatnot. And so you can only take it to stages because the truth is when you're doing an outside project, you don't know if it's raining or how hot it is, and that just slows up progress. So take that in consideration. If you're the contractor, which our contractor is gone now, but I always say put in an extra few days for yourself. I guarantee you your customers, they're going to be, if I tell you it's going to take 10 days and I get it done in 7, you're going to love me. But if I tell them it's going to take 7 and it takes 10, you're going to hate me. You're going to be on the phone. You're going to be calling me. You're going to bug the crap out of me, you know. So we want to make sure that, you know, you have that and work with them. And stay with them through the progress, making sure they're still going to stay on time. And change orders just really can, that's another story in itself. And we'll talk about that as we go along. But so time frame and make put it in there so you have a flow chart. Because as a customer, you want to kind of know where things are going to be, when they're going to be. So, for instance, I'm doing a room addition. It's going to be for my bedroom, a new bedroom room addition. Well, I might want to buy a brand new bed and a mattress and bedroom outfit. Well, I'm going to need to know when I'm going to have this stuff delivered, or at least some sort of a time frame. You know, so that's it's good. That's good to have that information. And you know, and then of course, as I described, it kind of you got to be open to you know weather and such. So, project's time frame, very important. Insurance requirements. Now, insurance. That's a big. And now, I know most of y'all know, but we. But if you're a self owner and you're not an investor, you know you don't really know what you need to have, and you don't know what your contractors are supposed to have. So you want to make sure. And this is one of the big cons contractors have been doing forever. So you want to make sure that you have insurance. You, the owner of the property, have insurance to cover if anybody gets hurt on that job. You might, it's not going to be workman's comp, you know, because that's not your, it's not your company. You probably couldn't get workman's comp, but you got to make sure if that somebody falls or trips or something, when the lawsuits start coming, they're going to be coming for you, making sure. So make sure you contact your insurance company. Check out my radio show about the house. And we got a lot of this information. I got hours and hours and hours of information. I'm trying to condense this like the Reader's Digest, you know, is trying to condense this as quickly as possible. But you got to make sure you're covered. Make sure your contractor's covered. Now, if he's got more than 5 employees or whatever the workman's comp laws or whatever state you're working in, make sure they got their workman's comp. Because that's another way you'll get hit as a homeowner or a property owner. Make sure they got general liability. Now, general liability. When they got general liability, make sure you are their certificate holder of their insurance company. Do you folks know what I mean by certificate holder? Because I'm sorry? I'm very sorry. Right. So as that, if they, because what happens is that for, I have the money, I got this big project, you know, and so I went out and I got insurance. Now I got insurance because I told you I got it and I got it, but I don't have enough money to actually pay for the next month's premium. So now I don't have insurance. But you got him on your project. You think he's insured. He had his insurance certificate, right? Well, if you're a certificate holder, they will contact you and let you know that you're no longer that your people's no longer insured. That's a wonderful way to make sure. Now, you want to make sure that your GC's got it, but you also want to make sure all the subs that follow him also have it, or that his insurance picks it up. Now, I'm not an insurance guru, so I would highly recommend you contact your insurance company for the information. And every state's different. So you want to make sure that they have all the insurances. Nobody wants it, but it happens. You know, I have a rental right now, the people next door thinks I'm rich. And so I get the phone call. Hey, Troy, let you know, I fell in your driveway today. So, shouldn't have been trespassing, but that don't count, does it? You know, they could trespass. In today's world, they could squat in your house and you could be sued, you know, for getting them out of there. So you want to make sure that, and I don't know if there's a squatter's insurance or not, but that would be a good one to find out about. Oh, I need to make a note of that. I'll check into that because that's a good one because we're hearing more and more of this happening around the country. So make sure they have it. Make sure you're a certificate holder. Make sure that you contact your insurance company of your prop that you hold and ask them to make sure that you're insured. Make sure that they have all the requirements that you need to make sure, because the investors or whoever's loaning you the money, they want to make sure you've done your due diligence and that you're fully taken care of. So that is absolutely important. And there's a whole bunch more that I talk about that in the book. So hours and days that can work can be performed. Now, used to be the guys would want to show up first thing in the morning, early in the morning, and work as late as possible and work as many days as possible every day of the week. Now, I think if most of us all agree, we have a hard time getting them to show up at 9 o'clock in the morning, and they probably got to be gone by noon. But still, hours and days, that's why the scheduling will help. We don't care if they leave by noon, as long as that job's done when they promised it was going to be done. But hours and days that work can be performed. And so, for instance, a good story. So I'm trying, well, not so good for me. I was kind of embarrassed is how I learned this lesson. So I was working on a project up here in Chesterfield, and I was working for a Jewish community or an Orthodox Jews, and they believed in me having to be done at a certain time on Friday to be out. Well, I was working late and I was offending them. I didn't realize it, but I was trying to get my work done, you know, so I could be at that level. So when I came back, everything would stay on course. Well, then they was polite, and luckily they was my friends, and they helped educate me that you can't be working at these, you know. So it's not just the government or the municipality saying you can't be hammering out there at 7 or 8 o'clock or on Sundays in the morning or whatever. It's, you know, you got to ask your people. So ask them, put that in the scope of work when you can. And maybe you don't want to work on Saturdays or Sundays. Put that, you know, the contractor will say, okay, I don't work Saturdays and Sundays, you know, and we don't really care as long as they stay to the schedule, right? You know, so want to make sure that scope of work is in the hours and days that work can be performed. They might even have holidays. We got like Passover coming, and they might not want you in there. It's not just, you know, but all of our religious folks, our business folks, you know, they might have family coming over for holidays or something. They don't want the contractor out there making noise. So that's a very important. I know that sounds trivial, but if you're the contractor, it'll make your job go easier. But if you put it in there, and then your contractor will also know. Actually, you'll be doing your contractor a favor if when you sit down and educate them on this stuff, and because it'll make their job go smoother. So want to make sure hours and days. All right. Equipment, materials, and storage. Oh, I thought we had a clock on here. So if I run too far over or too soon, just let me know. So equipment, materials, and storage. How many times have the bigger jobs are like even a deck? We don't want them to dump it on our driveway necessarily. As a matter of fact, you, the homeowner, shouldn't even be letting people on your driveways. As a good contractor, you'd be smart to hold that back, you know, and not dump. Don't put your trucks on there. Don't put your customer, your cars on their customer's driveway. Treat it like a brand new home. You don't want oil stains on it. You don't want trucks dumping material on it. We all have had cracked driveways or something. So I would recommend that you take a picture with your contractor of the driveway, if they're going to do that, anything like that, with them, with you, to show them, you know, don't even have to say why. You know, just say, hey, I always want to take some before and after pictures, you know, and that, because driveways get cracked all the time because we put too heavy equipment on there, or we dump a load of lumber, bang, you know, how that pops on there. And so we put them out in the street. Well, we put them out in the street, then we got to get them off the street before nighttime. So that's something, you know, so if they say, okay, I don't want it in my driveway. I don't want it sitting in my front yard. I want you to haul it back. So you got to work that, make sure you work that out. Where they put their equipment, where they put their materials, and for storage. Storage. So we also have a lot of, we still have a lot of hazardous materials. You know, we still have paints and thinners and all kinds of different materials that little children, we don't want to get into, or animals get into. So we want to know where we're going to keep our storage of our of any of our materials like that. And of course, a lot of the guys will leave their toolbox on the job site. And that's not, nothing wrong with leaving your toolbox on, you know, the big job box there, but make sure that they are insured for any kind of being stolen, because you don't want to be accused of stealing their stuff. Make sure that it's in their writing that they are responsible for it, where they're going to put it, where they're going to, and how, when they're going to put it up. So, because I've seen out here, for instance, I see extension cords, and because I do this, the construction expert witnessing, I see these lawsuits all the time where the contractor leaves his extension cord out. He didn't think anything about it. It's just an extension cord, you know, and he didn't put it up. It's Friday. I want to go home. And I just didn't get a look at the job site real well. And then he trips on that as he goes through, and he, you know, guess who gets sued? Everybody. Out in the yard. Oh, on your, and when we do our demo, the guys literally will take their equipment, their nails and their wood. We see it, and they throw it out there, and their nails are sticking up. You know, I don't even. Some of these people shouldn't even be showing up on the job, but here they are. So you want to make sure that you put, you know, you want to talk about, hey, how are you going to, where are you going to put your demo material at? You know, it would be supplying a dumpster, you supplying the dumpster. Where now, dumpsters we put into drives a lot of times. Yeah, I think everybody knows how to put a dumpster in the driveway. But this is actually, I'm recording this show so as that I can share this with other people too, or this presentation. So I'm just going to say it out loud for other folks. So when we actually do our dumpsters, we want to put down some boards. We want to roll it out on some 2x10s or something so as that it's not just going straight down on top of our concrete. You know, and same with any kind of equipment, you know, crossing over sidewalks, you want to make sure they have their plywood. You want to talk about that kind of stuff. Who's responsible? We got some municipalities here that you literally have to, when you get your permits, you literally have to put your plywood over sidewalks and such as they cross over. It's a code issue. So, which is sad that we have to do that, but that's what it is. So anyway, that's how that is. And I know you guys know that, you folks know that. This is just for everybody else. So, another one here I think is really important. Really important. Access to other areas in your home you allow your workers to occupy. Now, you're rehabbing a house. A lot of you folks probably don't live in that house. But if it's your own house or you're in somebody else's house, you want to make sure. So, here, real quick story. I got tons of stories, so bear with me. So, I had a young man, great young man, and he was working on this job. It was my job. And there was a young lady that lived in the house, and she was of age, but he kind of took a fancy to her. She took a fancy to him. And when he's over there just visiting, nothing was going on. That believe me, the customer would have really let me know if something was going on. But he was mad because he was supposed to be in the kitchen working. But he was in the back of the house with that girl. Well, that just, you know, even though there wasn't anything happening, that's a no-no. And then if you have minors in the house, you know, I really say, if you've got minors in the house, that you make sure you got owner in there. You make sure you don't go anywhere to that end of that house, and you absolutely make sure you have not your men or your people as the adult. They must be there present, or just have their minors be gone. In today's world, we cannot take a chance, because all it takes is hearsay, you know? And even if you're innocent, just having that reputation can destroy all the hard work you've ever done. So you want to make sure that you do, and I put that in there, minors, because I think that's really important. You know, when I'm so picky that I will not even enter a room with a minor, and I don't even like entering a room. If I enter a room with another woman that's other than my wife, I make sure if there's nobody else with me, I don't enter the room. I kind of stand back and let her go into it and show it to me. Or I literally will make sure that door's left open. I love them body cams, you know, anything to help, you know, make sure that you're trying to present yourself as safe as possible, because you're trying to, this is about covering yourself. You don't want that, and you don't want any problems like that. Absolutely don't want no problems like that. Smoking. Now, that's not as big as it used to be, but a lot of our tradesmen still smoke, and a lot of us don't smoke anymore, and we don't want that smoke in the house, and so we don't want to be smoking in the house whatsoever. And okay, that's a give me in today's world, but the guys will sit outside, and they smoke. And they take your cigarette butts, they're still notorious, and they flip them, you know, and I did it too. I know some of these bad habits, they're my bad habits too. And so we want to, so what we do is I'd like to see a designated smoking area. And if they don't give you stand-up ashtrays for your folks, get them a 5-gallon bucket with some sand or something and say, this is where you smoke. Now, you want to get them away from the house, because sometimes that smoke will roll into the house. You know, and because of exhaust fan or windows open or something, you don't want that smoke to be going into the house. Now, this is kind of for both, you know, this is for the contractors, but, you know, we want it too. We want to make sure to talk about that. So, hey, do you guys smoke? Where do they smoke? And they probably, you know, say this is where the designated smoking area is. And it's preferably maybe in their cars or back at their pickup trucks or whatever. It's not as important as it used to be. But I think more people are more sensitive to smoking than they used to be. Music. I didn't put anything about drinking here. I don't know what to say about that one. Used to be we always drank. As a matter of fact, you folks used to bribe us all the time. Here's a case of beer. Could you get this done in time? You know. Nowadays, you know, I don't see much of that happening as we used to. But it used to be all day, every day. As a matter of fact, if you didn't smell alcohol on your contractor's breath, he probably wasn't a good contractor. You know, there was only one when back in the early 80s, we were building a subdivision out here, to Walnut Creek and Saddlebrook out here in O'Fallon. And of course, everybody drank constantly, and the overfilled dig was just full of beer cans. And it's so funny. So I did. There was one contractors out of McBride. They was flat workers, and they were Mormons, and they didn't drink anything. And it was so cool. I said, "You folks are the only people I've ever met in my life that didn't drink." And they did great work. The Martin boys. I don't know if they're still out there or not, but they're getting close to retirement if they're not already. Great, really great. So getting off into beer cans. So this is a funny story. So beer cans. So I got called on a job right down the street down here at the Westport. And that twice I got called on it. One time they couldn't figure out how come they're not getting any heat coming out of the registers. And I can't figure it out. There's no heat coming up. The ductwork's all connected. Everything's working. So I take the grill off. I reach down there. And it's just full of beer cans all the way to the top. They just piled it. And then another one was their maintenance men couldn't figure out how to level the stove. They couldn't level it. Something's wrong, they said. So I go out there, and them guys had shoved so many beer cans up underneath that, the stove was just literally rocking. you can't make this up. And it was hilarious. Anyway, I'll get back off of that. Go to music. Music. Now, this is something I think we all need to be thinking about, because we all don't have the same types of music taste. I'm not into rap. I don't really care to hear it. but I like country music. Well, a lot of guys, you know, a lot of folks don't like country music. They don't like that tears in your beer, or they don't like whatever. I'm not saying don't let the folks listen to their music, but have it toned down. It shouldn't be boomboxed all over the neighborhood, you know? That's obnoxious to your neighbors. It's obnoxious to the other fellow workers. You know, keep it toned down, you know, and to where they can listen to it. You know, you cannot tell them they can't listen to their music. But you know, keep it to a level that is polite, you know, to everybody on the site and to your neighbors. Because your neighbors is your allies. You know, they could be your enemy or they could be your allies. You know, if they watch it, if you get your neighbors on your side, they'll be watching your backs. Things get stolen, things keep coming and going. Or if they're your enemy, they're liable to be tripping in your driveway, you know, falling. So be careful of that. So music, want to make sure music. Now, if I get to go too fast, just say something to me about this. Okay. Because I'm trying to trying to give a whole system here in just a little bit here. Communication. This is probably the second big one that I find that is the biggest problem. And all this should be in your scope of work on your contract. Put it back in your addendums or something. But communication. I believe with all my heart, you do as much as you can, everything in writing. And contact them. Say, okay, how do you want to be contacted? Do you want to be text? Do you want to be emailed? How do you want to be communicated with? I prefer to have it in writing. We didn't have all these abilities at one time, but we do now. So take advantage of that. So, and then make all of your communications in there. Now, I knew a wonderful contractor a few years ago, and he literally had a system set up, and now you can buy the program that it will literally give every single day to your customers and all you out of the people that work do investing out of town, this is good for you, that you literally get a report every day. And they just type it out, okay, we got the drywall done, drywall 50% done, drywall didn't come till noon, you know, and it's just so you get a progress report. And boy, that makes your customers feel good. And it makes you feel good because you know what's happening around you. The worst thing in the world is not knowing what's happening around you. When I was in the Marine Corps, it was nothing worse than being in the bush. You had no idea what was happening around you. You didn't know if your own people was coming or going, and it just adds to the frustration. And if you don't communicate with your customers as a contractors on a regular basis, for a little tiny bit of aggravation, it'll balloon. Molehill will be a mountain in no time soon. So you want to make sure you keep this open lines of communication. Also, here's a big one, and make a note of this one. If there's a note to be made here in communication, this is it. Who is the contact person on the job site? Because what happens is you'll go over here. We've all done it. There's not a soul that hasn't done it one time or another. You go to the painter. You say, hey, can you go ahead and paint this over here for me? You know, and he'll say, yeah, I'll do that. I'll take care of that. But he doesn't relay it. He doesn't have permission to sell something, you know, and do an extra work. And so he doesn't do it. Then you're aggravated, but you think it's supposed to get done, but it's not getting done. That's one of the good reasons. Another one is that your contractor will say things that not, you know, other guys will say that they'll do things that's not true or will not happen. But then it happens to the contractor too, you know, where you say, you told me you was going to hang that light for me. Remember when you said that you was going to hang that light? You always try to do a little extra. Remember how you said, well, you never said that, or you don't remember saying that. And then that should have been a change order, you know, if there was anything changing like that. So you want to make sure that you put your communication, how you're communicating, who you're communicating to, and, you know, and even times of communication. You know, we used to do this, and I'm sure some of us are guilty of that. When the contractors show up and you leave post-it notes. I hated them post-it notes, you know? Why? You know, just talk to me, you know, wait till I get here or contact me when I get here. So, because I don't quite sometimes even understand what the heck you're talking about in this post-it note, you know? And then they got them everywhere. This needs to be adjusted. This needs to be adjusted. We'll talk about that a little bit further here. But then just your communication. is so key, is just so absolutely important when you're dealing with contractors and homeowners. Pets. You know, we love our pets. Everybody knows me, knows I got them out here right now. My girls are waiting out in the car for me. I love my dogs. And they come with me everywhere I go. And so, you know, they're like family to us, similar to a lot of us. So and when people are in the contractors are working, they can't be watching your pets. So they can't be responsible for your pets. So put this, if you have pets, put it in your paperwork contract or something. Your contractor should be putting this in there himself. If you have pets, you know, leave them in, tell us where they're at, tell us how you're taking care of them. You know, we're not going to take them out and go take them potty or anything. But worst of us is your pet gets scared and takes off and gone because you got all this banging going on, all this noise. Your dogs or cats freaking out. Well, you know, got all these strangers in here. So naturally they're hiding or take off. So that, you know, we want to make sure you have a line or something taken care of for your pets or if you have pets. You know, we got some, our drywall desks. Sometimes we've seen some of our little pets, like, I don't know, they look like mice, gerbils or something, you know, little tiny animals, and they get that drywall dust in them, it could kill them, you know. And I mean, I've literally seen adults go to the hospital for drywall dust where there's too much in the house, which we're going to go to that next. So anyway, pets. I know it sounds silly, but it's really important, especially to us pet lovers. Actually, I got that from a lawyer who actually taught me that lesson. He said to put that in there. Trash. All right. Now, this is a pet peeve because as the owner of the property, I am not your mama. I'm not here to pick up your trash. I'm not here. If you get done eating lunch, you pick your dadgum trash up, you put it in the trash can. Put it in writing. If I have to pick the crap up, I'm going to backcharge you. And I put it in writing. You know, if I have to clean it up on Fridays, you know, so I, you know, construction sites, big construction sites, homes or something, you know, I don't expect the guys to pick up every piece of wood every single night, you know, on a bigger project. But on Fridays, I want it picked up. I want it cleaned up. I want to make sure that if I got somebody, a customer coming over wanting to look at my one of my houses on progress, I want to be able to have them come in safely and taken care of. And so talk about where you're storing your trash, how you're storing your trash, when you're getting it picked up. You know, like I talked about the drywall dust, that's not necessarily considered debris or trash, but it's debris, it's the dust. How are you going to clean this drywall dust up? You know, how are we going to take care of, you know, we're going to change our filters out. Actually, you know, when we get into some of them, like drywall dust, as you all know, that stuff, that just goes right through our filters. You know, that's heck on our furnace. So if you're a contractor, you want to make sure that you even put that in there too about your, you know, any drywall dust, but try to keep it picked up and cleaned up as much as possible. I guarantee you, and of course we don't have contractors here, or if you do contracting, you know, if your customer comes in and every single time they see this place snug and clean, it's going to make them feel better. But if you're a contractor, the cleaner your job site is, the higher quality your work is going to be. It's all the same way. If your desk is cluttered, your job is going to be cluttered. You know, so you know it's really, really important about, you know, and just put it into paperwork. Trash. Okay. So, lien waivers. So does that go? It does it. Okay. Lien waivers. I think most of us understand lien waivers, so I won't get into a whole lot on that. But lien waivers. Now, there. If you do not have the proper paperwork. And our smaller contractors are notorious for making this mistake. They don't really put anything in there about liens, and if they do, they don't do it right. So there is a special font. It's supposed to be a special print. Everything is supposed to be big and to talk about being able to put liens on the property. If you have a contractor that doesn't have the proper paperwork, the proper liens, if he puts a bad lien on your house, Now, you know, liens are changing, and I don't know the current lien laws of the state of Missouri. I think they're only good for 6 months at a time or something, and you got to go back and renew it. But if you put the wrong, if they put a lien on your property and they haven't got the right paperwork, it last I heard it was a Class B misdemeanor. You mean they could literally go to jail for this. And so, but as soon as they do that, then that's, you got them, you know, and they created their own problems. So you want to make sure that they, you know, that you, that that's in there too. You want to make sure that you put this in there, even though it might sound like it's against you, you want your lien waivers. Now, on lien waivers, this is what I tell my folks when I'm consulting. So when I get a lien waiver from a guy, so, and it says that he's my plumber's giving me a lien waiver, but he's also has another contractor coming in here, running the water line into the house, or what, you know, whatever different trades, and he might not be directly working for me. And so I'm guaranteeing that, you know, that, you know, there's a contractor, I'm guaranteed that it's being paid. Get the, you see, if you get the people's phone numbers, get the contact of every single person. I'm trying to watch my language. I've been contracting too long. My words are a little bit rough. But you want to make sure that you get their names and then call them. Hey, have you been paid on this job? You know, you want to make sure everybody's paid. And if your contractor doesn't want to give you them names, you want to wonder, what's he hiding? What's going on? Why don't you? I mean, I don't mind sharing everybody's name. And I want everybody to be, you know, I want you to know. Why? As a contractor, I want you to know. I'm a plumber, but I didn't run the water line. So, you know, I help you get this guy in here. So it helps your contractor too. So anyway, check your contact attorneys. A lot of this information is really good to go back to your insurance company and or your lawyers. And we talk about that. And I should have said that about on contracts. When you do your contracts, which actually in the back of in my book, we talk about that. I even give you areas that you could get good contracts. In one of my radio shows, I had Matt Nagel. It was a bi-state law. He was on the radio show. You can get these contracts off Google. They're a joke, and they're not legitimate. You know, you can get in trouble. And he talked all about that. So check on that. Listen to that's a whole show on contracts. And so that's a great resource. Matt Nagel, Bi-State Law. Like I said, he's not with Bi-State. He's into a bigger company now. And so that's a great one. A great resource place to get to. So we're there. Dispute resolutions. Well, we're really hoping we don't have that. And that's what all this due diligence is about. And I know it feels like I'm really giving a lot of information. And there's a lot of pain. And majority of this is probably never going to probably get done. But you can't. You should, and because what happens, we don't want disputes. We don't want this. We won't want to have a problem. But if we do, how are we going to follow on it? Are we going to go to mitigation? Are we going to do? Are we going to go to court? Or how do we? How can we work this out if we have any problems? How do we talk to each other about this? Have it to talk about this, and this should be in your contract. Good attorneys will have you some a lot of your investors here. So you work with a lot of different investors or contractors. You should have your attorney already have something in your paperwork. Actually, you should be using your contracts. And so as a builder, they always give me their contracts, right? You know, ABC Drywall Company, which that's not whoever's looking for a drywall company. River City's a great company, but that's not who I'm talking, you know, there is no ABC that I know of. But you want to make sure that, you know, they give me their contract, and I just take their information that I like and that I want, and then I put it on my contract. Because that's the best way of doing it. Now, if you're the homeowner, you do not have a contract. You do not have the ability, you know, you're not going to have this stuff. So if you're the homeowner and you're doing that, just take the contract, your GC, take it to your attorney and have him bless it. Look at it. Get his recommendations. He's going to be watching out for you. He's probably going to be, or she's going to probably be a little bit rougher than they need to be because they're only trying to watch out for you. So, you know, if there's a negotiation back and forth on that, you want to talk about, you know, just make it a good deal for everybody. Work stoppage. Now, work stoppage could be for a lot of different reasons. You know, it could be for union disputes. which I don't think you guys get into a lot of that because of the type of investors. We don't work with a lot of union contractors. But on larger scale projects, you definitely have that. And so you want to talk about how we handle labor work stoppages. We also have materials that maybe not delivered, just whatever kind of, how are we going to attend? You know, what happens if you're a homeowner and you're a contractor and the homeowner just locks the door and don't let you in? Say, hey, you're done. I'm done with you. I don't want you back. I'm done. Well, if you lock that door, you've opened up and you don't let them complete, then you've opened up another bag of worms, legal bag of worms. I refer that back over to the lawyers on that. But you want to make sure that you do attend to work stoppages. That's really important, even on smaller projects. Okay, we talked about the toilet. The guy tell you, you know, the primary starts. I got to go get that O-ring. I got the, you know, the wax ring. I got the wrong wax ring. I need a bigger one. And he don't come back for a couple of days. Well, that would be considered work stoppage, you know. And so that would kind of goes in with scheduling, but it definitely is part of it. And so I know it sounds trivial, but this, as you continue to get into bigger and more projects, you'll run across it. Penalties. Now, this one here is, I highly advise you put it in there, but attorneys usually tell me they're really not worth too much to put it in there, but yeah, it don't hurt not to put a little scare into them. And so my drywallers, I'll use them as an example. And so my drywallers, I tell them, are carpenters, they kind of whatever, you know, but they're kind of more weather related, but some depending on the project, but whatever the it is, you want to make sure they just don't drag it out. Because what happened, remember we talked about robbing Peter to pay Paul? That's exactly what happens. He may leave two or three guys on your project or one guy on your project, but he needs that cash flow. So he pulled off his men to run over here to take care of his other job. And then that pay, so he could pay. So he could, you know, pay his people or pay himself more opt than he pays his own people. And you want, so put in there, hey, if it's not done in X amount of time, this will be a, you know, a $100 penalty. And then if you don't get it done in X amount of time, $200 penalty, whatever, exact, go on and on about that. And like I said, I don't really know how admissible that is, but it's great to do that. I'm going to go back to something here about that, penalties, something a little bit at the end here. But penalties, they're not necessarily enforceable, but I recommend you put it in there. Because it'll keep that smaller contractor that's not as educated as, you know, keep him more honest, maybe keep him more on your job. Hopefully, you've worked it out well enough that, but these guys will spend their money before they get it. You know, and they don't know how to run a bit. Most of them don't even, 99.9% of these guys out there doing these jobs, they don't know how to run a business. They may be great carpenters, but they don't know how to set anything up. So you gotta make sure. Change orders and addendums. Change orders, that, make sure that every tiny thing that you do, this should be under how you're going to, in your scope of work. How are we going to actually talk about change orders? How do we attend to them? So yeah, I'd recommend you get a change order sheet or something worked out, and you take this change orders. Now, as a contractor, I hated change orders. That's why all this other stuff was put out front. So that's why I talk about knowing what a job's going to look like. Kind of already do your due diligence so you don't have them change orders. Because what happens is, and I'm in a big project right now, and the carpenter got hung up on it. And now he can't come back, and he promised us he was going to be there 2 weeks ago. And now he's telling me it's going to, and today I contacted him, it's going to be another 2 weeks. And what happened is the change orders ate him alive. Of the house he's working on. He's working on a big, beautiful home, and so now he's a month behind. Well, so are we. But I didn't cause it. I didn't do it, you know? So you don't want to do that to the next person. But what's even worse about not getting your change orders in writing, and change orders should not only be the scope of work, the mini scope of work, but the cost and how it's being paid for. Now, I always liked as a contractor, if I'm going to get a change order, I don't want you to do change orders. So I'm going to charge more money than it takes. I'm going to make it a burr in your butt that to do the change order. And I'm going to want my money up front because I'm trying to discourage you. But I also, but if that don't work out, okay, you know, depending on the relationship. But I want it in writing exactly what it is, because contractors all the time, and I'm sure you all have seen this one time or another, hey, you know, you said you was going to pay me for putting that other outlet in over there. Or, you know, you said in your scope of work, I'm only going to put in the outlets to whatever code requirements, minimum code requirements. But then I've added these others, and now they want to get paid for it. And then they're going to try to slap a lien on your property. It happens all the time. Tons of times this happens. And so you want them, and if you don't have it in writing, now you just get into a fighting match, you know, going back and forth. And that's not, so this is just, you know, an addendum to the work. So you want to make sure that you have it in writing, what the cost, scope, mini scope of work, cost, everything. Try to make sure we don't get there, but they happen. They're inevitable. Permits. All right, now, permits. Permits is something that you should always make sure that your contractor, if there's a permitted job, get a permit. And if you're a contractor, I'm going to tell a story on me. I did a big deck out here at Kirkwood. Guy said, this has been years ago, because like I said, I don't do the work anymore. But that's how I learned a lot of this stuff, by making my own mistakes. And so anyway, so permits. The guy said, I don't want any permits. Kirkwood, they're just going to come back and charge me more for taxes. I don't want to pay more for taxes. We'll just get this in and get this out. And, you know, and then nobody will know the better. And so, okay, you know, if I don't have to do the permitting, and I'll give you a little discount, you know, because now I don't have to pay for it. I don't have to go through the hassle of turning in the drawings and everything. Oh, so what's he do? He set me up. Dead to rights, and he said, well, I'm not going to pay you. I checked with Kirkwood, and you don't have a permit to build this deck. There's some good four-letter words that I shared, and I'm still trying to hold it down, because that still irritates the tar out of me, but they will do that. And then the guy, so, and for you now, as I'm going to go put my home inspector hat on, which I don't like home inspectors, but if they did a basement remodel down there. You did a basement, and you didn't get anything done. Well, the insurance company might not insure that basement because the wiring wasn't done right. How do you know it was done right? If the house caught a fire, insurance company says, well, you did this work and you did it illegal. Maybe I don't want to pay you. You know, so that's for your benefit too. You're going to pay more for that, but you're going to get a better quality contractor that does it. If you get contractors that don't want to do permits, now installing a toilet, okay. I think that's stupid. You know, if I got to pay to, you know, paint the outside of the house, you know, whatever, I don't want to have to get a permit for something as ridiculous as that. There is something to that in a little bit we want to talk about. But yeah, you want to make sure that you have all of the right proper permits. I'm going to jump over to that anyway here. So permits. Now this is really not a permit, but this is one that I am finding, and folks, I wouldn't doubt not every single one of you one time or another has not been done this. I mean, we all have. But now EPA has rules and on lead. And you better be following them rules, because I get hired all the time through expert witnessing to come in because the family's sick. And they have not, and they've been in the family. Okay, here's a risk of a good story. Sad story, but turned out beautiful. And actually, you might have even seen me on TV, because I was expert witness on this, and it was blowed up. So years ago, I got called to go out and look at a firehouse, a damaged house. And the reason I was called is because they didn't want to pay, the insurance company didn't want to pay for the plaster walls to be removed. And he wanted to know me to come out and test it to make sure that the plaster was, if it was good or not. You know, if it was still safe. Well, naturally, that house was burnt so bad that the plaster was definitely damaged and had to be removed. But I told him, I said, that's not your problem. I said, I'm looking around here and I don't see anything here. I'm lead certified state and Missouri, or state and federal myself. You don't have to be. You only have to be. I only got state certified so as I could do the lead inspections. And also, I got a great radio show on that too, which you would love her, Sally Norris. And Chuck Norris, that was funny. Only time I ever seen Chuck Norris get his butt kicked so, by his wife, no less. But anyway, so what happened was, I said, I don't see any lead certifications here. I don't see anything here. I said, we need to get this tested immediately. And so, but now the contractor and was the insurance guy's brother-in-law. And he brought this in. And so they was just blowing right on by. And I saw all this debris, all this stuff thrown out all over the yard, all this dust all over the place. And so when I went in to test for lead, I found lead dust everywhere, all through the house. I found lead dust all over the yard. The yard's totally contaminated. When you go back, on my YouTube videos, I got probably a couple of, 1,000 more YouTube videos out there. And one of them is not far from here from a rehabber that destroyed the yard. I hope it wasn't nobody here where it poisoned it, where now the yard is literally damaged, you know? So anyway, I told him, you need to go see a lawyer immediately, today. So they did. They saw, went down and saw, it was outside of Union here. And so they went to see the lawyer. The lawyer sent them down to the Board of Health to be lead tested. All of them had lead poisoned. The father was 40 years old. They said it didn't really bother him too much because of his age. But the mother, she has MS. And that was hard for her, bad for her. Two of the children were less than 5 years old, heavily lead damaged. I mean, this is really serious now. And it goes on even worse. He did a horse stable down below. He did horse boarding. He did horseshoeing, all kinds of stuff. His whole barn was damaged, was lead poisoned, because they'd been walking from the house down to the down to the horse barn. Horses even was lead poisoned. So it's RRP. Make sure that you, and I think I got a little something in here somewhere on that, that you want to make sure that you follow that for your contractor. Now that's for 1970, all homes, 1978 and before. Anything after 78, you do not have to be tested, but make sure that they're certified and that they follow the rules. In the book, I even give you the EPA websites and everything, where to go to get all the information. So I don't want to get into that too much here. I just want to talk about the importance of how important this is and how it does hurt people. But if your contractor, even replacing a window, anything 10 square feet or more of this movement, and a window, anything around a window and trim and stuff that gets pretty close to 10 square feet, you got to follow the rules and regulations. It's up to last I heard, and it might have even increased more, up to a $35,000 a day fine. So it is that important for you, because you can, and I know this is what it'll be, and I've been involved in these cases, and the investor or the contractor, you folks will say, well, I didn't know any better, and I don't know of any lead, and I don't know of anything about this, you know? And so you play stupid. Well, you play stupid all you want, but when that lawyer gets a hold of you, stupid's gonna cost you a lot of money, you know? So you wanna make sure. And besides, let's forget about the attorney. Do we really wanna hurt some children, you know, because we're trying to make a buck? You know, I guarantee you, God will pay you back if your greed is going to get ahead of you. Karma will bite you. So you want to make sure this is taken care of. So anyway, that's into that. Go check it out in the book, or contact me afterwards. And actually, I had some more information about how to contact me, but I guess I didn't see that here on this slideshow. I must have not got it to these folks. So anyway, you want to make sure that's taken care of. Bidding requirements. Bidding requirements, that's really more for your bigger jobs. You want to make sure that if you do anything that's a bigger size project, or you're going to get into any kind of government money or anything as an investor, that you want to make sure that you follow, or the federal rules and guidelines for bidding requirements. You got to make sure that we have the right amount given to our minorities and whatnot, so is that you don't get into a war about that. Make sure that, but in our smaller projects, that's really not as important. But this presentation actually was designed for everybody. Contract forms, then go there. That's it. That one's more for the different types. And I got a whole bunch of information in the book on contract forms. Well, not really a whole bunch, about a page or two just on that. It's not a lot there, not where to find different contracts. And there again, anytime you have a contract that you're not familiar with, or you haven't had it blessed by an attorney, I highly recommend it. Folks, if we don't have an extra $200 in our budget to have our contracts blessed, then maybe you shouldn't be in this project. I think you're in over your head. You should have enough built in there for this. Kind of like when I was a young man, we was out there framing. and I was picking up the nails falling off the felon out of the pouch. And the guy's laughing at me. He says, "Troy, if you didn't put enough money in the budget for nails falling on the ground, we shouldn't even be here." So same thing with that too. Contact your attorneys. The conditions of the contract. And that's kind of, you know, that's kind of more about what we was talking about earlier. The conditions of the contract, you know, what, you know, that's part of the scope of work. Specifications, we talked about that. You know, we really do want every bit of information that we could possibly find, you know, in our specs. We want to know, you know, what size, when, you know, the type of doors, everything that we could possibly get it in there now at the beginning. All right, drawings and blueprints. Now, you want to make, if you got drawings and blueprints, make sure you halfway understand them. If you don't understand them, I think everybody in this room probably does. You've probably been around, but make sure you understand what the blueprints are showing, what they're representing. Then make sure that, you know, you literally take the folks and if you don't understand what it is, then talk to them about it. Now, what you'll see in blueprints is a lot of times you'll just put that little cloud around and, you know, and it's to be determined in the field designated. You know, talk to them about that. That's part of the communication. You know this is going to be coming up. Talk to your contractor. What's he feel about this? You know, we get these out there in the open. Contract modifications, that's kind of like change orders, you know, but you maybe want to change. It's not really a change order as much as, you know, I was worried about you take care of my pet, or maybe you promised to take my pet out, you know, and now I'm not going to have my pet in here anymore. Little things like that. These are kind of little things. They're like a page or two in the book. They're not a whole lot to that. But so that pretty much goes through the whole show here, or the presentation. And I have no idea if I'm early or not because I do not have a clock. So what time is it, may I ask?
8:39.
8:39, okay.
So,
yeah, well, let me finish this little bit up there then. Good deal. All right, good. Now, Kristen should have told you that I love to talk. So she would have warned you because I love to talk. I just think the better educated the consumer is, the better the quality the job will be, the less headaches it'll be. You, the homeowner, can teach your contractor these things. You want to make sure you know everything about it. Tell him about it. Educate him. You want your jobs to go smooth. And honestly, if you're a contractor, I want that because the more I can educate you folks, then the more money I'm going to make. I'm going to make a heck of a lot more money. And you're going to get a better job. So you're going to save money. So it's win-win for all of us. So anyway, I had to put this because I was going through something one day. I saw the golden rule and construction. The one with the gold makes the rules. So I know a lot of this stuff I put in here. You say, well, my contractor might not like that. He may not like that. You show them this one statement. This is the golden rule in contracting. I'm paying you. You want it, then good. But I know it's tight out there right now, so it's kind of, you know, but there's still a lot of good guys out there. And sometimes we're just, hey, if, you know, if a guy can show up to your job next week, he's probably not the guy you want, you know. And so we want to talk about, you know, that. We could talk about communication later in another one, but I even have a system how I communicate with them. So when I talk to my contractors, when, how often, how to get them out there on the job, how to keep them followed up, how to be polite, burn their butt so they can get the job done. So this is, here's this great information for you folks. And you can find my radio show out there on podcast, on Apple. Joey V back here, he can show you where he puts it all over the place. He also works for 101.9, and they do a production also. So they also could help do any kind of programs that you want. But this actually, I want people to put information in. I want to make this a site, a library site, that you can just find out anything you want. You want to know about the lighting, you want to know about asbestos, you want to know about lead, you want to know about bugs, you know, there anything like that. I want to have a place that the consumer can go to that they don't have to go shopping around and hunting around here for this on in the Google and hunting down this on Google. It's one source. And also, we're getting contractors on board that will also be presenting their given blogs and helping educate the people too. And then they will be considered a certified contributor, and then I'll have try to get them on my show. But I put this on here because this is what you don't, I mean, I believe in prayer. I think I'm big into this. But this is not how we want to run our jobs with prayer. We want to pray, but you don't want to be begging God that this contractor comes back or that you're not getting sued. So that is pretty much the end of our presentation.
Sponsored by Troy Galloway and Galloway Building Services, GallowayBuildingServices.com.